Hi everybody, how's it going? My name is Oisin Quinn. Thank you for tuning in and listening. So the podcast this time around is probably going to be a bit different than any of the other times you might have listened to. The reason for that is at the minute, if you've been following me online, you're seeing I'm probably doing a lot of stuff online with ACLs with people, working myself, getting over the two ACL injuries, and then actually just working with my clients. One of the things that we do with the clients, we have like a big group online, is we do this kind of education call every week, and we've just started it now. So what we're doing on it is we've been chatting over like one kind of main topic every week, the chat over like an education side of things. Then we do some Q&As that some of the clients bring up, some things they're going through or some issues that they had in the past that they think would be useful for other people to find out about. And then hopefully over the next while we'll try and get some guests on to talk about their experiences either going through it or rehabbing. And then also as well, maybe just like some stories of people going through different types of rehabs and like different situations that have come up. So I think it's a great opportunity to learn from this here, from other people, and then just learn different insights into the ACL rehab. So I guess just putting that out there, so this isn't going to be kind of the GEA performance that it was before. It's going to be a wee bit more centered on this. At least this particular series will be. We might go back and do other episodes at times. So what you're going to listen to today is a chat about the main topic being like how the brain gets affected with ACL injury. I just want to put this out there as a disclaimer. I am not a researcher and I'm not a physio. I am an S&C coach and I've been through this here twice. So a lot of what I'm talking about is my own experience just from reading and researching by myself. So nothing you're going to hear is going to be absolutely backed up by science, so please do not quote anything I say. It probably will be right, but don't quote me on it, and if it's wrong, you didn't hear it from me. Okay, so that's just a bit of an idea. I'm going to talk over it again whenever we get into the podcast, but I hope you enjoy it, and if you do, just let me know or share it online. But thank you for tuning in, and I hope you get something from this. Okay, welcome everybody to the first ACL Club Live call. If you're watching this back or listening to this back, I suppose the first thing is maybe just to chat about like the reason why you kind of want to put this on. So everyone listening is part of the ACL rehab group that we got going on at the minute. And I think one of the things I've realized is like the more I've gone through and taken people through rehab is that as much as it's a physical thing, there's a massive like educational side that comes with ACL rehab. And I think it's actually, it makes your rehab much better if you learn more about it, you learn more about what's involved in it, because it really is a unique injury and very different to probably any other one that you've had. I know for myself, and it actually weirdly it seems to be a lot of other people, that you've had very few injuries in your life, and the one that you do have tends to be something like an ACL, which is a catastrophic one. And there is really a whole educational part of it. So that's what this podcast recording is all about. It's going to just be bite-sized, so I'm going to try and keep it the 20 to 30 minutes, and you can just flick on and watch it, and you'll get hopefully, like what we'll do is we'll go one main topic in every video, and then we'll do a couple of Q&As, which you've provided me with, and we'll go over that. As this whole process goes on, I'm open to ideas, I'm open to more suggestions, so feel free to always ask me questions and say, can you go over this on the podcast? And I will, or can you do a topic on this? The topic will be a bit more in depth. The Q&A will just be more, maybe me more chatting about it. A lot of the information that we'll talk about will be like a mixture of just my own like personal experiences dealing with this, my experiences rehabbing people, and then we'll throw in a bit of research as well. So it won't just be solely me talking shit. It'll just be a combination of me talking shit plus some research as well. So we'll get started. So the first thing we're going to talk about today, and I think this is quite a good one to almost kind of frame us as we go forward over the next couple of weeks. And that's that this ACL rehab that you're going through isn't just a knee injury, and it's not just a knee rehab. It's actually more the effect that your brain has and the changes that your brain makes through the injury itself, through the surgery. And just maybe making you realize that this isn't just a knee rehab, it's a very holistic thing. And the reason why I kind of thought it was good to get chatting about this was this video here. So I'm going to let it just play and you can listen to the talking on it. And then what I'm going to do is just talk over it and explain what's actually going on.
The ACL activation pattern of our ACL patient. And in blue is the brain activation pattern of a healthy match control patient. So you almost don't have to run the statistics to do that simple quadriceps dominant knee extension task, you can see our ACL patient engages in a lot more red than blue. They have to bring in a lot more brain regions. They have to activate those regions with a higher degree, more rate coding, more neurons firing than our healthy matched control patient. Which the data you're seeing is just one patient versus another patient. And these were Division I collegiate level soccer players, and the young lady was returned back to her sport. So the lady in red, she's playing Division I collegiate soccer.
Okay, so basically what is happening in this video, there's an image of a person's brain, and it's two brains on top of each other, and it's showing the brain activity doing a basic rehab exercise, like a basic extension. And what it's showing in the person that had an ACL injury and has been through their ACL rehab, there's so much more activity in the brain in comparison to the other person. So to like put it in reference, say if the activity was measured in size, the person that hasn't had the ACL injury, the size is maybe like a blueberry amount on top of your brain in terms of activity. That's the size of it. Whereas the person that's done their ACL, it's more like an orange. So like it's so much bigger in terms of how much activity is happening, in terms of like the effect it has in the brain. And the amazing thing as well about this is that is literally just for doing like a knee extension exercise. That's not for actually playing sport or anything overly complicated. That's for a really basic rehab exercise for someone that's actually made it back and returned to sport. So basically what this is telling us is that there is so much more happening in the brain post-ACL injury and post-ACL surgery. And then there's research which is backing all this up. So there's a university in Michigan, and they done this, and what they found was when they compared people underwent ACL injury versus didn't, or ACL surgery, there's actually structural changes in the brain in the patients who underwent ACL injury. And scans will show that there's part of this brain, and it's the part that the pathways that take messages from the brain to the muscles, so like a really important area, had actually got smaller in ACL patients. So that part had actually started to die off, essentially. And then the quote, what they say, and I'll just read it out, is in essence, the brain not only alters the way it communicates with the rest of the body, joints and muscles, but the structural makeup of the basic building blocks of the brain are also changed after ACL injury. We think this is a protective mechanism in which your body is trying to limit unwanted movement around a joint or injury, and can be applied not just to ACL injuries, but also other injuries as well. So overall, what this is sort of showing us is that, and this is what the evidence as much as just personal feeling is showing, is that like your brain changes after an ACL injury, and it's constantly in change and developing even post-surgery. And I think this is really important to understand this, because I'm sure as you go through this rehab process, you start to feel like it's not the same as any other injury you had. You know, if you've maybe broken an elbow before, or if you've torn a hamstring, this feels different. And I think it feels different because there's so much more happening in the brain. Now, why it happens, I don't know if anyone knows for certain. My own feeling is it is like they say here, it's a protection thing. Your brain is wanting to go, like the brain is always concerned with basically keeping you safe and surviving. Like that is basically number one rule, keep us safe and keep us surviving. And if you go and snap an ACL, your chances of survival back in the day, back in the wild, would have gone down because you wouldn't have been able to do too much. So the brain is probably just starting to say, right, we cannot let ourselves get back in that situation. So let's just protect ourselves by whatever means necessary. And that's why all this activity is happening in the brain, because it's having to work so much harder and think so much more about what you're actually doing. So there's a video I have up here and showing one of my ACL clients. So if you watch his back, you'll see it. I'll maybe try and send it out as well. If you ask me for the video, I can send it on. But basically what's happening is the client is doing like a drop, a single leg drop off a box. So the box is maybe just below knee height, and he's dropping on the single leg. And what we see on the ACL side is whenever you land, rather than the leg landing in like a nice kind of squatty position and the posture being upright, what's actually happening is the leg's staying relatively straight, and we end up like kind of pushing the ass back and nearly looks like an RDL kind of position on a single leg. And my feeling whenever I look at that is what's happening is the knee goes and says to the brain, we don't want to bend too much, because if we bend too much, that's putting more pressure on us. And maybe when we've done that, that's actually how the ACL went before. So it limits that amount of bend or flexion to knee, and it says, right, let's put it upstream, let's put it somewhere else which is stronger. So it's saying, right, let's put it onto your glutes or your hips. So in this instance, we see that kind of RDL pattern happening. Now we watch this and then we correct it, and you'll see in the video the next rep where we talk about like trying to let that knee bend forward. And I think the cue I nearly used on that, and this is probably an extreme kind of cue, was like trying to push your knee past your toe and keep your posture up. So then whenever we go into the next one, you can see the posture is much better and the knee bends a lot more at impact, so it's taking more load. So it wasn't a case that the knee couldn't do it, it was just a case that the knee didn't really want to do it initially. And I think that's a good lesson as you go through this rehab that you're doing, is that your knee, you may be able to do the task, but your knee will try and protect itself whatever way it can. And just because you're doing it doesn't mean you're actually doing it right. So the knee will always try and protect you. And I, like I say this to people all the time, I think half the battle of ACL is just allowing your knee to bend and be happy bending under a bit of pressure and a bit of speed. And the more that you like cue it and the more that you practice it, I think the better your rehab will get. But it's all affected by the brain, and that's the brain doing that. So like our job is to try and like teach the brain, no, we can do that. We can push you even more this week. We can bend into them positions. Our rehab and our training is allowing us to do that, but like you've got to really sometimes put a conscious effort onto that. So like just to sum up, and like the takeaways for you in your rehab is, I think number one, like the quality of movement matters, especially when it comes to jumping, single leg strength, and change of direction. How you're moving matters, because like we said, you might be able to complete the task, but you're probably not completing the task very well. And your body could be compensating through the other side to get you to complete the task. The ways that you're going to see that is actually just probably simply by videoing yourself. So video yourself from the front to the side and look and see, right, what happens on my right leg versus my left leg whenever I hit the ground? What happens on my right leg versus my left leg whenever I really push away? What happens at my foot? What happens at my knee? How much bend is there? Watch all them wee things and start to watch it back and become your own coach. And you'll start to see it. Like, I just can't emphasize enough, and I think this is where a lot of rehab feels, is that people go through the rehab and they do all the drills and do all the exercises and think that they've got it, but they've negated the actual quality and they just thought about ticking boxes and doing the exercises, and the quality has fallen down. So for me, the important thing is like, you've got to make sure the quality of your movement is really good. I'm always here to help with that too, whether you send me videos or you come up and do sessions with me, but like, I think it's a critical thing. Next one is remembering that, like, and we've talked about this, your brain really only cares about two things: keeping you safe and then completing the task at hand. And it'll do that in combination. So if I tell you to jump over that box, the brain will start to go, right, how can we do this, but also keep yourself as safe as possible? And that's where your compensation strategies start to come in, and you'll probably not even realize it, but you've got to now be aware of that and aware that your brain is starting to do it. So when you start to go into more complex exercises in your rehab, whether it be single leg jumping ones, single leg plyos, the running based ones, make sure in the back of your mind you remember that your brain's probably going to be doing something like that to keep you safe. And you've either got to video yourself, or you've got to get someone else to watch you, and you got to be really, really focused on that and focusing on the quality of the movement. And like, again, send me the videos that you have, send me anything, and I'll give you feedback on it, because sometimes you might not be able to see it yourself. The next one, and like, this is, you know, something I'm going through now. So I'm nearly just over a year post-op on my second ACL. So I'm back in, like, I've played now most of our league campaign, maybe, I don't know, a lot of games now this year. But what I can tell you is that returning back and getting on the pitch isn't actually all that difficult if you follow the plan and you do the work. What is more difficult is actually getting the kind of game speed back, because I think your brain is focused so much on like keeping your knee safe, and it's so hyper aware of every movement that you're going to do, that like the actual speed of the game and the game decisions tend to be a wee bit slower initially. And like, a lot of it is just building back up to that. So the reason I'm telling you that is because when you go back out to train, you go back out to games, you might feel yourself like off the pace a wee bit. You might feel your decision making's a wee bit slower. But you got to remember that your brain's just still in that mode of protecting you, and it's thinking probably more about your knee than it is the other game things. So give yourself a bit of time to get back into training and get back into games, and maybe don't expect to worry yourself too early because so much is happening there. And then the final one is just cutting yourself a wee bit of slack. Like we said, this injury isn't like any other injury, and I know that, you know, coaches at your club or even friends will just see like a number of, oh, well, I've seen this guy get back in 6 months or 9 months or 12 months, so that means you should be back in 6 months, 9 months or 12 months. But like, we know the reality of it isn't that simple, because this just isn't a straightforward injury. There's so much more happening in the brain, and like the knee is such a complex area, and someone has literally come in, cut your knee open, taken a bit from some other part of your body and sewed it back in. There's been so much trauma in that area, and there's been so much happening in your brain that just isn't a simple process. So cut yourself some slack as you go through the rehab, and like, allow yourself the time to get yourself right. Allow that there's going to be times when things aren't going to be going well, but you got to just remember that it's all a case of just sticking to the process and pushing through it, and remembering that you're not just coming through the knee injury, you're coming through a freaking brain injury as well. You know, it sounds dramatic, but it kind of is true. Like, and I'm sure there'll be more research as time goes on to indicate that as well. So that is the topic for today. That probably felt quite quick as I went through it. I just want to keep it bite-sized. I don't want to sit and reread your studies and all that kind of shit. I want to keep it bite-sized so you get the information, you can go. If you have follow-up questions to that, just fire them across to me. If you want to know any of the research, if you want to know anything else, just fire them back. What we're going to look at now is the Q&As that you send me. These questions are coming from other people in the rehab group. We'll take 4 or 5 each week, and then we'll kind of go similar idea next week. So if you have questions after listening to this, fire them on the training app, or else just send me a message on Instagram or WhatsApp, and I'll try and get it in for you. So the first question is, I am close to retest date, so like a retest down in, most commonly most people around here are going to Century to get their return to play testing. Are there any good indicators that you're returning nicely? I suppose it's another one of like, are there any good indicators of if you're returning play and you're not doing that test, and like, what's good indicators? So without actually using any testing equipment, because I know not everybody has that, but without using any test equipment, I would say like a good way to know where you're at is, number one, strength-wise. So when you go to do single leg strength exercises, is there a noticeable difference between both sides? So if you're doing a single leg extension, are you noticing that if you use 50 kilos, you can do 8 reps on your right leg, but on your left, you can only do 3 reps? If you're noticing big gaps like that, that's probably a sign that you're not getting closer to the pitch yet, and you still got a bit of strength to build. If it's you're doing single leg squats and you struggle with doing reps on your right side, but your left side, you're really good at it, that's a sign as well. So strength is a really good indicator, and it gets a really easy one for you to do, whether that even just be a basic test, like how heavy can you do a single leg squat on your right leg, and how heavy can you do it in your left leg once you get to that later stage. That's a really good one, a really simple one to do. But if you're noticing big strength gaps, I find strength tends to be a big indicator of just how the power and movement is all going. So if that's off, that'll give you a good indication. And another one is just your jumps. So your single leg jumps, do you find, just even without testing, that you know you're jumping higher on your left side versus your right side? Do you find it's just even tougher jumping on one side compared to the other? Or maybe you're slower off the ground on one side compared to the other when you do your plyos? Those things are good indicators. If you're finding that they're both pretty even and they both feel strong and fast, it's a good indicator that you're probably moving in the right direction. And then the other one I would say is whenever you're out in the pitch and you're running or you're doing change of direction drills, do you notice yourself maybe compensating more on one side than the other? Do you notice yourself feeling really confident or not confident? Are you really, you know, second guessing what you're doing? If you're second guessing what you're doing and you're maybe not confident, or you're slowing down as you come into one side versus the other, that's maybe a sign that you're not returning just as sweet as what you want. You maybe need a wee bit more time. But if you're going out and pitch and you're not even thinking about it and you're just going at it and it feels fast and it feels good, and when you watch the videos back, it looks pretty even, then you're probably in a good place. The next one then, and this is quite a common one, is your nutrition post-ACL surgery. Do you want to bulk or do you want to cut? My first ACL injury, I took the thought of, I want to try and get really good shape now, so I'm going to probably reduce my calories a wee bit because I'm not going to be running as much as what I was with Gaelic. Second time around, I probably realised that was the wrong approach. Because the most important thing, especially post-surgery, is building as much muscle as you can on the leg. Now, this will be the case even for a lot of you at a later stage as well. Muscle size is basically going to tell you how strong it is. That's why you got weight categories in sports, because bigger people tend to be stronger. And if you have a bigger muscle, it's going to be a more strong and powerful muscle at that. So post-ACL, you got to be eating a lot of food. You've got to probably more than likely be in a calorie surplus, because you want to be in an environment, like you want your body to be in an environment where it can build muscle. And the only way you're going to do that is by having extra calories. If you're cutting or just meeting your maintenance, you're not going to be in a muscle building zone. You got to be eating more food. The only caveat to this is if maybe you are already pretty chunky and you are maybe like at the point where you're too heavy to the point where it's going to actually be an inhibitor of your rehab, that would be the only one time where I'd say that's where I'd want to cut that down a bit, and that's where I'd want to be mindful it doesn't go too much the other way. But for a majority of people listening to this that are playing sports, you're probably not going to be in that boat. So I would say you want to be thinking about adding more calories and eating more food. I think it's really important. I've done a couple of live calls with Daniel Davey. They'll be on my Instagram page and his over the past year. There's two or three of them. I really recommend you listen to that, just in terms of nutrition around your ACL. Third one, I've done my knee twice, landing, playing. How do I prevent it again from happening? Here's actually a really important thing to understand, and this goes for whatever way you hurt your ACL the first time around. You'll never land the same way twice. You'll never cut the same way twice. You'll never do any of them movements the same way twice. It'll always be different because of the environment, because of the game, because of the pitch. So we could practice the perfect landing mechanics, you know, from you going up to catch a ball. But we could do that until the cows come home, but you could go out in the game, and as soon as you go up, somebody comes in behind you and just nails you in the back, and you have to react to what's happening. So there isn't really any way where I could say you could start to practice landing better, because there is no probably better to an extent, because it's going to be so different every time you go do it. The solution I would suggest is that you got to make the building blocks around landing really good. So what that would be to me is getting good at jumping, like your basic jumps, getting really bouncy, getting your plyometrics good, and getting your power up. Like if your jumping in general is better, you're going to be doing more landing actions. So you're going to be getting more exposures to different types of landings. That'll be really good. The other one is maybe building like a good degree of strength, and maybe specifically more like eccentric strength. So what that would be was if you're doing a single leg squat, rather than just going down at a normal speed, you go down at like an 8-second count, so it slows it way down. If you think whenever you land, there's going to be that more kind of like eccentric pressure coming down, so that kind of stuff will be really useful for you as well. Even isometric exercises might be good because you're strengthening the muscle then like specific angles. So you could sort of pick a couple of different angles where you feel like this is where I'm always landing, with a straight leg or a slightly bent leg. You can load up a ton of weight on those and you can practice that. So I would suggest you, like, rather than worry too much about actually how you're landing, I would say build the building blocks around it. And hopefully the program you're doing with us will be meeting them needs anyway. But I think that's really important, is like you get away from trying to find the perfect landing and you focus more on actually just building a really strong frame to, you know, deal with all them exposures. Final one we're going to go over is how to get yourself back on track because you missed a few rehab sessions, and how not to get annoyed and beat yourself up over it. I think the important thing you got to remember is like this is a very long road that you're going on, and the rehab doesn't actually just finish whenever you get back playing. It's kind of like an ongoing thing that just keeps happening. So I think you got to remember that there's a long journey, and like one missed rehab session will not make a difference in you getting back any quicker, any slower. Now, if one turns into 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, that's going to change things. But cut yourself a wee bit slack. You know, don't get too pissed off about it, because stressing over it will probably cause more issues than actually dismissing the workout, you know. And you got to probably accept that life's going to happen at times, and you can't always control all them factors. Like there will be times when you just cannot make it to the gym, and that's just the way it is, you know, and you have to accept it. I think a good thing though is if you're finding you're in a place where you're actually just losing motivation and you're not, like, it's not a case of you just got busy, it's just a case you're just getting a wee bit lazy. The thing I always kept telling myself in them was, like, if I don't do this, I'm not going to get back. You know, there is not a situation where you cannot do your rehab and get back and play. Like, I have some ones in at the minute that are maybe 2 or 3 years post-injury, and initially when they came back, they were still deaf, like, they still had deficits from right side to left side because they hadn't done enough rehab. So don't think that you can just go, right, I'm going to just chill out here in 2 or 3 years' time, I'll jump back in. Nothing will change. So what I kept telling myself was, like, what happens if I don't do this? If I don't do this, I'm never going to get back. So that's what you got to keep remembering, is that, like, if you don't do it, you won't get back. And that's the long and short of it. Like, it's as simple as that. A thing to help you as well, each week, have just small goals. If you're constantly thinking about, right, it's going to be 9 months till I'm back, it's going to be 12 months, it's going to be 6 months, that can get quite tough because you're focusing so far down the road. What I would suggest to you is, like, just look 1 week or 2 weeks at a time. So let's say you're just out your ACL surgery. The first goal is, right, I want to get my leg as straight as I can and get as much bend in it as I can. Simple goal, and you just focus on that, and then you move on to the next one. If you're later stage, you may be going, right, I want to get my 5RM leg extension the same on my right and my left side, and I'm going to give myself 2 weeks to do it. And you just have small goals to go through. If you focus on 9 months, 12 months, whatever it is, that's hard, and it seems so far away that it can get you down. Just go weeks at a time and just focus on each stage that you're in. It's the best advice I can give you, and just in terms of keeping yourself at it and keeping yourself structured as time goes on. Okay, that is it for today. Couple of things I just want to leave with. I'm open to ideas for this going forward, because I want this to be useful for you. So if you have ideas, whether that be me bringing in guests and maybe on particular topics that you want to go over, any specific questions, I can do that. If it's maybe you want me to bring in some people that have been through the rehab journey and you want to go through their story, or if you want me to talk more like case studies with people, I can do that as well. And just let me know, like, have you ideas? Is there other ways that I can help you? And if I can help you with it, I can probably help the other people in this program, whether it be in more calls like this or more educational things. Let me know how I can improve this for you, because I want this to be the best service you can get. So make sure you let me know if there's something in your mind that you think would be useful. Just let me know. Any of you that have me on Instagram, you probably see I've got lots of different, like, testing equipment at the minute. This is something I'm planning to, like, offer out as a service in the coming months. What I'd like to do is, I need to get testing it on people, and I need to get practicing it and practicing the protocols and all that kind of side of things. So everyone's listening to this, I'm offering you to come and do it for free. You can come up to the gym, I'll take you through the full testing profile, we'll see where you're at. And, like, that's going to be your strength, that's going to be your power, your hamstring strength. I've actually got speed gates, so maybe test your speed as well, maybe test your change of direction. So it'll be really good, and it'll give you a really good idea of where you're actually at right now in your rehab. So if you're interested, just send me a message and I'll get you booked in. And then finally, the last thing is the current app that we're on, the Fitter app, I don't really like it anymore and I'm changing it up. So in the coming weeks, you'll see me messaging about changing to a different app. So just leaving that in the back of your head. I think the new app is going to be much better anyway, but I'm just putting that out there so you have an idea of what's coming up. But that is it. If you listened to this and it was good, let me know. If no one gets back to me, I'm never going to do it again out of embarrassment. So let me know, please. All right. Good luck. And any issues over the next couple of weeks with regards to programming, anything like that, just let me know. All right.